be in the house of the Lord. This is going to be one of the most pivotal series that you have ever participated in. And it's going to be a treat because not only am I going to preach, but I'm going to preach with some of our up and coming ministers that are in our house that will blow your socks off. You're going to start wearing flip flops because they're so good. So turn to your neighbor and say, get ready. Amen. We are going to be talking about altitude breakers because there are certain things that you need to breach and break certain altitudes. What you saw in the video was a rocket that had to exit the atmosphere of the Earth. What do I mean by that? Earth itself has gravity, and gravity will always seek to pull you back down. And if you don't have the right kind of thing beneath you, if you don't have the right kind of power in you, you could blast off, but you will never leave the atmosphere. What you noticed here when they began the rocket launch is that they counted down from 10, 9, and it takes time because certain things have to come into place in your life before you start to realize you're shooting higher. You're going up out of the atmosphere. You're taking off into your destiny. It may have been 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, but on 10 years, you're noticing something shifting down till you get to 1 year left. And then because of he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world, your rocket begins to breach the altitude that you lived at, and now you're moving beyond this world. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to live beyond the atmosphere of this world. What is in this world is an enemy to God. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. I want what I see. I have to eat and satisfy myself. I have to be known for being an important person. These things are of this world and not of the Father. Land, anything that can be stolen, it can rust or it can get lost. These things are not of God. They are of this world. But God's calling you to a higher altitude. Sometimes we get so caught up on the things that are on this earth that we break friendships. You ever lent somebody in your family some money? And they said, I'll pay you back when? No, that Tuesday is wimpy. That's the old school guy. No, I'll pay you back at when? When I get my tax refund. It's always that year the tax refund goes crazy. And because we are so bent on, you said you would do it. When we hold that ought or that grudge or that problem with them, our altitude begins to sink down. We were moving high in God. We were getting closer to the sun. Somebody say amen. We were heading out. We were looking and exploring in God like we'd never done before. But because we hooked on to something on the earth, whether they treated us bad, they lied to us, or they hurt us, or they're not doing it enough for us, we link into the world and we're just floating right on the edge of the atmosphere. How many people during this election season have fought each other so much over who is supposed to be in the White House and who is not? And you do it on Facebook and you do it in front of everybody. And then all of those who are looking for hope now have no hope because they see two good Christians fighting each other. What in the world happened to your altitude? You ought to be going higher in God, not going and crashing in God. You've got to make God the head of your life. He's got to be the one that is the one you want to please, not what party you are. What if in 40 years there's a new party called the Oompa Loompa Party? What are you going to do then? You're going to have the same anger? No, you're going to be Oompa Loompa Oompa Dee. That's all you're going to do. Why? Because that's all you know. But right now, God is saying, I need you to break those barriers. You can't get stuck on start. You can't have God start the countdown, but because you're so locked down, he can't get you off this earth. I'm in love with her, but that ain't your wife. I'm in love with him, but that ain't your husband. Locked down. Oh no, but if I take that job and I stay at that job and work overtime and more overtime and time and a half and time and three quarters and time and five quarters. Meanwhile, your children are burning up behind you. We've got to have altitude breakers. And over the next several weeks, we're going to bust through those altitude breakers, those things that would hold you back. I remember, and it's important because as believers, we got to know, how do you get past that? How do you get to the altitude that you really want? Good question. When you find the answer, come up here and preach. Amen. No, I'm kidding. You need power to pull you off of this planet. You need, starting today, altitude breakers that will keep you from getting stuck to this world so you can reach your full potential. How many right now think you've reached your full potential already? We got one baby, of course, a baby. Baby like, blah, 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 blah. She's reached her potential, y'all. She eats every day. She's good. But there's nobody in here that's reached your full potential, not even me. Nobody in here has done that as yet. But man, when you do, imagine the amount of people you're going to impact. You know, when you watch that rocket take off, they have to move 3 miles back because the heat of that rocket blast is so incredible. It will affect you if you're too close to it. That's what I call power. That when you begin to explode into your destiny, people have to say, either I got to get away or I got to get on, but I can't stay in between. Hello, somebody. I can't keep sitting here looking at them go up. I've got to either get on the ship or I got to get away from that ship because there's too much power under that ship. Hello, somebody. So God is trying to equip everybody in this room with the tools necessary to kickstart your faith. I mean, literally kickstart it so you aren't stuck looking at Christianity as a religion you come to on Sundays and it has nothing to do with your life Monday through Friday and Saturday especially. Where Jesus closes his eyes on Saturday so we can do what we want to do and get dressed up on Sunday. Somebody say, God forbid. No. God wants you to have the tools, the rocket launchers that's going to launch you into your destiny, into what God has for you. So you need power. If that rocket didn't have those rocket boosters, it could not have left the atmosphere. You need something that's underneath you that has the fuel, the power to push you through the atmosphere or this world where the devil is the god of this world, where he is the prince of the principality of the air. He tries to keep those that are in the world of the world. And that is not us. We are in the world, but we are what? Not of the world. I may be born here, but I'm traveling through. Somebody say amen. This ain't my home. Sickness ain't my home. Disease is not my home. That's why when we told you the testimony of these two people, why? Because they had to realize we got some altitude breakers up in this house. And disease, whether it's cancer, whether it's appendix, whatever it is, it cannot stand before the God of the universe. Somebody got to go higher in order to bring somebody else up. Somebody say amen. I want to know how many in here are willing to go higher in Jesus so you can bring somebody to another level. Come on, show me who you are. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. Who's willing to go higher, higher? What's that old song? Higher, 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 higher. Higher, higher, Jesus, higher. Is that how it goes? Let's try it again. Ready? Higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus higher. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be going higher and higher every year. You can't be the same person you were last year. If words used to slip out your mouth last year, put crazy glue on it this year. Amen. Listen, you either light or darkness. Make up your mind. We are the church of the living light. That's why the Bible says, how do we get refueled? How do we get that energy into that rocket launcher? The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, me and God. And the blood of Jesus cleanses me of all unrighteousness. I could be so off and so ornery, but the moment I make up my mind, I want to come home. There is not an argument. God doesn't look at your sins. He said, just walk with me. Just walk with me. And as you walk with Jesus, the blood of Jesus will come down and even down into those sins you wouldn't tell anybody about. He goes down inside and in those crucks and all down inside of your engine, and he begins to clean it out so that you're full of rocket fuel. You're full of light. And now all people see is light and light walking together. That's how we get back to God. But there is some, I remember years ago, I used to go to church for years and I would read books. You remember they used to have Christian bookstores all over the place? And I would read books about miracles and signs and wonders and all these wonderful things that would take place all around the world. And as I was reading about all these signs and wonders, I used to say to myself, how come it's in a book? I've never seen nothing like that. I want that to happen to me. I'm tired of just reading about somebody else experiencing something supernatural with God. Is anybody with me on that one? Man, I mean, I wrote a book, but I went with one of my encounters and I'm still writing. But you know what? Everybody got their own testimony. You need to have your own reason to say that I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He brought me from a mighty long way. You got to have a testimony. And I remember saying to God, I'm tired of not having experiences in you. I read about them, but the Bible hasn't come alive for me yet. And I remember I was in college. And let me tell you the defining difference. I was on my way home and I got on a Greyhound bus. So I had plenty of time to drive back to Cincinnati. And I said, what am I going to do? And I said, I'm going to read. Everyone say it with me. Read. Say it with me, read. No, everybody say read. I'm going to read Luke chapter 5 and 6 and Matthew chapter 5. Because what it was talking about was the Beatitudes. Now, I don't know about you, but those Beatitudes are things that we've talked about in Sunday school when I was coming up. You know, nice little, here's what Jesus wants you to do. And as a kid, you take it just like that. But as an adult, that's for kids. But I need you to understand, when I made that decision that I was going to read those chapters, it changed my entire life. For the first time, I said, you know what? I'm going to memorize them on my way home. And I memorized all those verses not so that I could be haughty, but because I said, I want, as David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I needed to have a word on the inside of me so that when I came to a crossroad for a decision, I want to make sure whatever decision I made was based on his word and I would not sin against him. So I began to memorize from Matthew. And by the time I got up to Cincinnati, I could feel like man, electricity was flowing through me. I remember driving to the house and my aunt was there and they were moving some things. And when I got to the house, my aunt had ulcers all her life. And my mama said, son, aren't you a Christian? Now back then they made fun of me. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, go pray for your aunt. She has ulcers. So I went over there just like she said. I laid my hand where she said it hurt. I said, Father, heal her in Jesus' name, and walked away. There was no fanfare. No fanfare. About 20 minutes later, they call me in the room and my aunt and my mama sit me down. And they say, boy, that's how my family talked to me. Boy, what's in them hands? This lady has ulcers all her life. She said, but when you lay your hands on her, a warm sensation went all the way through her. And the ulcers are gone. Boy, what's in your hands? I'm going to tell you what's in my hands. What's in my heart? I had just swallowed altitude breakers. I had just swallowed his word that I might not sin against him, and didn't know that it came with power from on high, that I could actually conquer the things of this world. I had it because I decided to go after it. Over these next several weeks, we're gonna talk about them. But here's what the word says. Go to Psalms 1:6. Psalms 1:6. Psalms 1:6. Everyone read, please. It's on the screen if you need it. No, it's not. I must see it by faith. Not there yet? Okay. Okay, let me read it for you. It says this. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Or it says it in the NLT, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. In other words, there is a way that can lead you to become an altitude breaker. You come out of the atmosphere of the earth and you have exposure to everything God made. Or there is a path that leads to destruction. You may get off the ground, but it doesn't make it into the atmosphere. Jesus put it this way, my people perish for their lack of knowledge. Do you know who is being attacked because you have a lack of knowledge? Can I say it again? Do you know who is being attacked because you have a lack of knowledge? Who around you is suffering because of what you're lacking, but you could have? I want to speak to the adults in this atmosphere. I want to show you a segment of our people that are being destroyed because of our lack of knowledge. I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 2. Verse 15. And it's going to speak to the reason why people get married or people have children. Malachi 2:15. Who's being destroyed in Malachi 2:15? Is someone going there? There we go. 2:15. Watch this. 2:15 says this. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? The two became one flesh, right? In body and spirit, you are his. You belong to the Lord. You belong to him. Verse 16. Watch this. And what does God want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Wow. who's being destroyed in this generation are children. When mom and dad doesn't know how to break the altitude and get into the atmosphere of God, when they don't know how to break the worldly atmosphere and can rocket themselves into the atmosphere of the Almighty, there are people left down on this world and they are our children, for they don't know how to climb. They don't know how to get in the rocket. They don't know how to seek God. And so our children that God originally gave us that they might be become godly. Somebody say godly. They were born to be godly children. They are lost and persecuted and destroyed because they don't have the knowledge. Right now there is sex trafficking coming through Central Florida like you would never believe. Men who are dissatisfied at home don't realize that there's a market that they're making because you won't find the Beatitudes. If our men would seek the altitude breakers, we wouldn't need sex trafficking in our community because we wouldn't need to go after these women and these children. God is trying to destroy all of that foolishness. Get rid of it. Save these children that are being picked up off the road. Going to the store with your mama and you turn around and the child's gone. It's called trafficking because there's somebody that wants that need itched, but they don't know God can scratch every itch that you got. Hello, somebody. In fact, we have an organization here that if you would, if you look in the lobby on the televisions and we can get you plugged in, we've got people that are working diligently to stop trafficking in our nation. Ms. Millard, would you please stand up, please? Ms. Millard. Let's give her a hand. She's working hard in our community. If you're male or female and you want to help her out, please do so. But it is our children that are being taken, our kids, our children. We no longer teach for you. Listen to me. This is why we must teach what Jesus said he would do. He would give us something that is more than just inspirational words. He says, when I give you this thing, it's going to change you. Let me read it for you. I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 36, starting at verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 36, starting at verse 24. Now, I need you to understand this. This was prophesied over 1,000 years before Jesus shows up. But he was talking about the impact that Jesus would make on the cross once he resurrected from the dead and gave those altitude breakers, his spirit, to us. Okay? Now watch what he says in Ezekiel 36, 24. Ezekiel was a prophet who was prophesying about what was to come. He said, "For I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you home again to your land." Verse 25. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols." They were in bondage in another country. God was prophesying, "I'm bringing you home, but when I do it, I'm going to sprinkle you. I'll make you clean and you don't have to worship idols." 26. "And I will give you," watch this, underline this, please, "a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you." Two things: a new heart and a new spirit. There are some things you can't stop on your own. No matter how hard you tried, you couldn't do it. This is where Jesus comes in. Prophet said it years before he hit the cross. He says, when he comes and you accept Jesus into your life, he will give you a new heart and a new what? Spirit. Your attitude towards life, your choices towards life. You can't do it on your own, but I can put something in you. I can give you something that'll take the taste of alcohol out your mouth. I could take the taste of cigarettes out your mouth. I could take lust out of your eyes. I can do some of these things if you let my spirit, my rocket fuel on the inside of you. Watch this. Let's read on. It says, I will take out, no, go back. I will take out your what? Stony. Somebody say stony. Stony. Say stony. Stony. Dope is still illegal. Y'all missed that. It is. Some of y'all will still argue, well, I can't get over it. Get over it. If you had what he said, you could get over it. So quit lying to yourself and tell yourself the truth. He will give me a new heart and he'll give me a new spirit. I confess that which is true, not lies. And he says, I will take out your stony and what? Stubborn heart. My God. How many here are stubborn? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't. Easy. I caught you over there. Okay. Your stony and stubborn heart. And what will he give you in return? A tender. Did you hear what he just said? I'm going to give you a tender and responsive. Responsive to who? To God. I'm going to make your heart now that was unresponsive. What is an unresponsive heart? Dead. Clear? There are some friends I got. All you got to do, walk in the room. Hold on a second. Clear? Because the heart is unresponsive. But when you're born again, your heart is responsive to God. It beats with the same timing of God. And God is trying to tell us, I'm going to do this thing in you. Look at verse 27. And I will, watch this, I will put my capital S, spirit, in you. Wow. Read it. So that you will follow my decrees and be. Some of y'all missing it. Listen to me. You can't follow his decrees or obey his regulations without his spirit. You want to break those altitude? You want to go into outer space? You want to have those experiences? You need his spirit inside of you that can have you, that allows you to follow what he says to do and obey his commands. How many have the spirit of God in them right now? How many have confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand. Clap if you have him. Come on. You are changed. You are the ones I'm talking to. You're the ones that have the power to follow his word. It is you I am sent to say these words to. Now, what else did he say to them? Next verse. And you will live in Israel and the land I have given your ancestors long ago, and you will be my people and I will be your God. Verse 29. And I will cleanse you of your filthy behavior, and I will give you good crops of grain, and I will send no famines on the land. We are looking for encounters today. Let me show you what God said he would do if you keep his commandments. Now, we all know the great commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like it. Love your. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. How many have heard that before? The question then becomes, how do you walk that out? How do you love your neighbor? How do you love your God? How do you do it? Well, here's a promise that you have. Please write this down. This is a promise. John 14:21. We're almost done. Look at what it says here. Go for the King James Version, please. John 14:21. Just a couple more. Now, listen to what he says. He And I want you to read these words with me. This is it. This is it. This is it, everybody. This is it. This is the one I banked on when I was on my way to Cincinnati. I banked on this. I banked on it because I just studied and memorized. And I said in my heart, I'm going to do what Matthew 5 says. I'm going to do it. I'm going to respond to this world through these verses because he promised me something. This is it. Look at 21. He that hath my commandments and, hold on, not just knows them, but you keep them. Meaning you can quote it, but can you walk it? Time out. Remember I said time out for talking? It's time for walking. Listen, I'm putting you to the test. I'm challenging you. If I had a big white glove, I'd slap all y'all. Because I would challenge you, stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. Stop talking about Jesus. Stop talking about how great he is. Show me you know how great he is. Walk it. Heal the sick. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Give me something to work with. Show me you know him. Show me you've got his spirit. Show me you're obedient to his spirit. Show me the money. Don't talk the game. Show me the money. I want to know that you know that you know you can put your hands on a sick girl who says you're going to eat more and God's going to heal your gallbladder even though you don't have one. God going to take the cancer away from a young boy who ain't even in the room. Never been to this church. Don't know my name. But if we know the... Show me the money. Look at your neighbor and say, show me the money. Show me the money. Show me the money. No. I don't need your skills. I mean, you got that. That was given the day you were born. You got gifts and talents. Praise the Lord. Man, you are good at singing. You are good. Ooh, man, you can put things together. Man, you can write. You can do all these things. Show me the money. Show me that you know that God's working on the inside because he promised me in the King James Version. Watch this. He that hath my commandments and he that keepeth them, he it is that loves me. Verse 22. Watch this. Watch this. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. Watch this. And we will. If you love God and keep his commandments, he ain't got no choice but to manifest. How many want a manifestation of God? Listen, I keep hearing people talk to me about revival. We need a revival. Listen, you get on your knees, it becomes a revival. You go to prayer, it's a revival. You believe God, boom, it's a revival. I have revival every day of my... I don't need to go pay nobody. I don't need to go down no road. I don't need to waste my gas. God is here. God is here. You hear me? I don't have to do that. I go to support the body. I bless people. I go into cities and I manifest his love. But I don't do it for money. I do it because I am in Christ. My heart is changed. He gave me a heart of flesh, not of stone or stubbornness. So when God is asking you to use your skills and services, quit being stubborn. Say, well, I'm waiting to God tell me. God will never tell you. Because that's pride. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So what is it that we're supposed to learn as commandments? This is it. And we're out. Matthew 5, starting in verse 1. And over the next few weeks, we're going to break these down one by one. because you need to know these. If you can capture these, you can walk in power. Because you see, I love God and love others. How do you do that? This is the only time Jesus stops and gives a dissertation on how to be blessed by God and walk in his power. This is it. The rest of the Bible, we read what he does, but this is the teaching, the doctrine he tells you so that you could have all of this. Look at this. And he's seeing, we're going to go through this fast. And he's seeing the multitude. He went up into a mountain. He saw all the people, went up in a mountain. And when he was set in the, that's too fast, set in the mountain, his disciples, she's ready. And he was set, and his disciples came to him. Now he's sitting down chilling, and they come. And next, he opened up his mouth and taught them. Listen, you're about to hear the mouth of God, the very words of the Almighty. Now, will you hear this teaching? Would you take the old Christianity and just rip it off? Would you take the full cups and empty them out and say, God, whatever you're going to teach me, I'm going to receive with freshness so that I can help and I can work with people the way you want me to. I know I'm supposed to love them, but how to love them, you're about to teach me. He said, he opened his mouth and God said, let there be light. And he opened their mouth and illuminated them. He taught them saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not going to break it down right now because we're going to do it next week. Next one. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, meaning you didn't deserve it, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. Listen to me. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill, and it can't, no matter how much you try, it can't be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your lights so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but all that was written for me to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, to heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever shall break one of these least What's that word? Least commandments. And shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But watch this. But whosoever shall do, say it with me, shall do. Say it again, shall do. Say it again, shall do, and teach them. Meaning that you don't just talk about it, you're doing it, and then you teach others. They, the same, shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, who know the law, but they're hypocritical with it. They don't do it. You shall in no wise, in no case, enter the kingdom of heaven. That, verses 1 through 20, is what we're going to cover over the next few weeks. I want you to come with your pen, paper. You're going to learn more about how to walk out your Christianity than you ever had in your entire life. It's going to start this coming Sunday. Be prepared, but it starts with you keeping his commandment and saying, Lord, I'm going to put this in my heart that I might not sin against you. I encourage you to begin to read it yourself, read it to your wife, read it to your children. And as you learn, explain it to them that they will be a generation of godliness raised up in this, out of this church. This is what I believe. If you do, won't you stand to your feet?